Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Morning Reload from high above all other pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or any type of metal structure, then you need to contact my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So, if you need a metal building for whatever reason, give Nick and Jesse a call and just tell them what you've got in mind, and they'll handle all the details. 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. It never ceases to amaze me how short of a memory Democrats have. You know, they were for something before they were against it. There's no greater example than one of Mark Gordon's favorite politicians, John Kerry. This one's a classic.
That John Kerry changed to become an anti-war vote when the political climate changed in this country.
I voted the way I voted because I thought it met the national security interests of our country, and that would have been the power I wanted as president. But I would have used that power, John, wisely, something George Bush did not do, which is why I've opposed it since day one.
I was for the Iraq War before I was against it. And then there's this gem.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
And who could forget the Grand Minister of Sliminess, Chuck Schumer? He was totally in favor of torture before he was against it. Here's a fun little piece from Lou Dobbs in 2009.
Senator Chuck Schumer is speaking out on the controversy over torture. In a recent interview on MSNBC, Senator Schumer said the officials who approved enhanced interrogation techniques should be investigated.
I have some faith in Eric Holder and the Obama administration on this issue. The first day they said, okay, waterboarding is torture. We're not going to torture. And the most important thing they did is they extended the Army manual, which isn't bad, right, on these issues, to the CIA.
That is Senator Schumer now. But back in 2004, Senator Schumer was telling an entirely different story. Senator Schumer then said that he and most of his colleagues would support the use of torture if it would save American lives.
If we knew that there was a nuclear bomb hidden in an American city, and we believed that some kind of torture, fairly severe maybe, would give us a chance of finding that bomb before it went off, my guess is most Americans and most senators, maybe all, would say, do what you have to do. So it's easy to sit back in the armchair and say that torture can never be used. But when you're in the foxhole, it's a very different deal.
A very different deal and a very different position for a U.S. senator.
Democrats will say just about anything to further their position or attack anyone that disagrees with them, regardless of what they've said in the past. I bring this up just to point out the utter base dishonesty of the Democrat Party. Who could forget the 1924 Democrat National Convention in Madison Square Garden, where the biggest supporters of the Democrat Party were the Ku Klux Klan? But if you listen to them today, they claim to be the party of civil rights and all things tolerant. But alas, all things that glitter are not gold, my friends. This is most certainly the case with an op-ed quietly released in the Wyoming Tribune Eagle this past week. Former Democrat legislator Roger McDaniel, who served in the Wyoming House from 1971 to 1976 and then in the Senate from 1977 to 1980, and who is now the pastor of the Highlands Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne, wrote an op-ed that was released yesterday entitled, "Imagine the Kind of Educator the GOP Will Pick to Replace Balow." Ahem, ahem. Quote, "Imagine the kind of educator that group will nominate. The Wyoming Republican Party 2020 platform will give you an inkling. Quote, "The traditional family, based on the foundation of marriage between one man and one woman, is the best institution and is the best authority on how to provide children with the education and training to develop their potential and prepare them to participate in society and in our government." Now, how terrible would that be? But he goes on, quote, "The Wyoming Republican Party supports the teaching of the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Wyoming, the Declaration of Independence, and other United States founding documents, as well as the factual history and heritage of the United States in Wyoming schools and the historical evidence of the role of faith and biblical principles in the founding of our nation. This platform was adopted before the National Republican Party and its crusaders started the ongoing book-burning culture war currently spreading like the Marshall Fire throughout school districts across the state. You can bet that three nominees will all commit to supporting library book censorship." End quote. End quote. No, we'll commit to removing pedophilia materials from public and school libraries. How terrible of a thought. Imagine that. People wanting to protect children. None of what he says is actually going to surprise you once you find out who this guy really is in just a second, but his op-ed goes on, quote, "Couple that with the reported Oath Keepers membership of the chairman of the Republican Party. That should tell you a lot about what Wyoming's Republican Party believes when it supports the, quote, teaching of the Constitution. The January 6th insurrection was permissible, even justified, under the Oath Keepers' interpretation of the Constitution. Teaching the truth about slavery and racism is not," end quote. Put a little star and a mental note next to that last one. I'll get to it in just a second. But this is where his intellectual dishonesty comes in. Chairman Frank E. Thorne was never a member of the Oath Keepers. And Roger McDaniel would know that if he bothered to reach out to Chairman Frank. But of course he didn't. Instead, he chose to write a ridiculous op-ed and publish it in the Wyoming Tribune Eagle. Chairman E. Thorne did, however, fill out a questionnaire for the Oath Keepers in 2015. But he never accepted any membership. He did receive their emails, he never responded, he never had any interaction with any oath-keeping members to his knowledge, he did not answer any call to action, and he had zero activity with any oath-keeper efforts. So, Chairman E. Thorne's involvement with the Oath Keepers is akin to filling out one of those ridiculous online surveys that all of us have done late at night. So, facts really don't matter to Roger McDaniel. But they do, however, matter to me, which is why I do something that apparently Roger McDaniel is not familiar with. Research. Remember, Roger McDaniel is the pastor of the Highlands Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne, and as it turns out, he has a blog. Or had, as it hasn't been updated in a while, but this is a lesson in the internet is forever, my friends. As a general rule, you can judge any pastor by the messaging that he gives his flock. And Roger McDaniel posted his sermons on his blog. Allow me to enlighten you on what he has been telling his flock. Quote, "I encourage you to read the New York Times special edition called The 1619 Project. It will open your eyes to the extent to which the 250 years of slavery, from the day the first slaves arrived until the day Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, contaminated everything about America, from its politics to its economics, its social structure, religion, and what passes for Christianity today. I want you to hear this. The European Christians who came to the New World reconstructed Jesus into something Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could not recognize. From the day they arrived, they set out to destroy native peoples and their culture and forced Africans into slavery, and to do those things demanded they fundamentally change the nature of the God they worshipped and the Bible they read." End quote. But that's not the best of it. Here's how he ends his sermon. Quote, "We're going to face how we benefit from the worst of our history and have a conversation about how we need to cleanse ourselves of it as much as those 10 lepers needed to be cleansed. Like that 10th leper, we'll find our way back to Christ, where we can genuinely and in deep gratitude witness to God's reconciliation. You see, it's pretty hard to do that honestly while standing on stolen land and clinging to our white privilege. Amen." End quote. Wow. Preaching racism from the pulpit. Now, as we've covered on Cowboy State Politics before, the 1619 Project is a historical lie. The references that Roger McDaniels makes to the Puritans are also a lie. What he's referring to happened much, much later. As I always tell you, consider the source and do your own homework. This guy is writing untruths in the paper, and he's preaching them from the pulpit. That'll about do it for this edition of Morning Reload. On Wednesday, we'll have a discussion with Representative John Bair about human trafficking in Wyoming. And on Friday, and if you haven't got your ticket already, you need to, but Ken Pendergraf from the Ramble Room and your illustrious host will be the keynote speakers at the Wyoming GOP Central Committee meeting in Douglas. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.